Yeah, just last couple of days, big news has broken about a big doping match fixing scandal in a lot of sports down here, like New Zealand and Australia, which is pretty much
baseball
like.
Baseball, too.
We don't really play baseball down here, but.
No, I'm saying just recently, though, baseball has had another PED scandal implicating Alex Rodriguez again. Ryan Braun again, Gio Gonzalez, you know, a bunch of prolific players again. So, I mean, this is a huge issue across all of the sports, you know, and sports are opiates of the masses. But yeah, go ahead, James. Continue it with what's going on down there.
James, they were fixing games too, James, the referees and stuff?
Yeah, well, they did some organized crime connections, apparently. And, basically New Zealand and Australia,
Pretty. Soccer or what?
Yeah, soccer as well. Like soccer, rugby, possibly even cricket. I know it sounds kind of crazy, like it's not really that physical a sport, but then again, neither is baseball. But no. Just the rivalry between like New Zealand and Australia is pretty much like Canada and US, you know. It seems to be across all sports, and it's like. They're talking about, you know, people having, like, in the changing rooms, having a secret compartment to put, like, urine samples in, like, when they go in and switch the samples over when they do the testing and stuff. And, like, and of course, you know, with the schedule that they're doing, it's, you know, sort of hardly surprising, you know, and they always want to expand the competitions, you know, more games, more international sort of matches. And, basically, I mean, it
seems to be a lot more widespread than I thought growing up, that's for sure. I mean, it's kind of disappointing being such a sports fan for so long. Now I hardly watch, but I mean, how much of the stuff that we watched was fixed? I'm not going to say it was all fixed, but I mean, we did have that big, huge NBA scandal just a couple years ago, Justin, where the referees were definitely fixing games.
Yep.
I mean, big scandal. I mean,
yep. You know,
affecting playoff games and everything. Right. Sacramento would have beat LA in that game. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yep. Well, what they were doing is they had a certain referee came forward and said they were told, you know, hey, so and so, you know, make sure that you know, so and so kind of wins tonight. They were setting up certain matchups to get more money out of it, and obviously for Vegas, you know, And the fact that the refs are in on it, and this is supposed to be, you know, the top of the line, and that's why you're supposed to pay refs so well, is that so that doesn't happen. It happens in American sports. It definitely does. I mean, to say it doesn't is ridiculous.
Seems kind of strange, doesn't it, that, you know, on the one hand, match fixing and doping seem to go together, but it's like, you know, if you're match fixing a game, you know, you don't have to try as hard, you know, because the results, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe the referees know, but the players don't, you know. But, like, I don't think the players would know about the match fixing, or would they? Like,
no, I think they play hard. I don't think the players know. I really don't. That's just too many people to let in on it. And how could they play the game smoothly when they know it's fixed? And I just think it's easier not to let them in on it. Maybe one or two stars might be in on it here and there, but...
I see college basketball being the place where that would happen, and it has happened in the old Boston College scandal, and there was another one, one of the New York colleges was big time fixed by the mob, the same guys, the guys from the Goodfellas movie, Boston College scandal. So I mean, that's been known to happen. What they do is, you know, they have a certain team that's given 9 points, and they tell the player, hey, make sure at the end of the game, you know, if you're winning by, you know, 16 or whatever.
Yeah, they were shaved points.
Right. Exactly.
Now here's a conversation like. Where I fall on the side where I think it's totally unfair and it hurts the integrity of the game. But there's a lot of people that'll say there's so many people doping and so many people doing steroids, just fucking let them all do it and even the playing field that way. But I think to the history of the sport, for any sport, I just think that ruins it totally. What do you think about that?
You know, I don't know. I almost at this point, if you can't stop it, you know, maybe it's better off that way. You know, the only thing that sucks about it is the people that want to stay healthy and are, you know, then they're not going to have a chance. It's pretty much just going to be, you know, a version of rich slavery where you're willing to give your body up, you know, and die at the age of 55. You know, just to make you know, $20 million or, you know, whatever, plus 100, you know, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
so
it's an interesting discussion though, because a lot of these guys aren't dying at 55. I mean, we see the wrestlers dying, but they do it, you know, right into their 50s and 60s. These athletes, if they retire in their mid 30s, they're gonna stop doing it,
true.
And maybe they'll be okay, you know?
Yeah, no.
With better doctors around and better technology, you know,
it's cleaner, right? It's not like the Lyle Alzado days where you had these nasty, just, you know, regular roids. We're talking about, you know, clean. And you know what, James? In fact, you bring up a good point, because they say you growth hormone works better on old people, and that you're supposed to take it, you know, not until you're at least 35.
Yeah,
so,
that's,
I mean,
probably why Barry Bonds got good so late. He's probably the prime example of what you're saying right now.
Him, Clemens, McGuire, and Sosa
all
had their best years after Palmeiro.
Especially Bonds. I mean, Bonds was hitting all those homers when he was, like, really 37, 38, 39. Like,
yeah. You know, here's the thing about, you know, what sucks with Bonds, the two guys that sucks with is Bonds and Clemens, because I think they did have a good career before they started, you know, with on the doping or with the roids. You know, I think that there's evidence. What they did is they just, you know, had secured it and had so many more great years. So, I mean, it's hard. It's, you know, and I was talking to my buddy about this today, actually, and he was saying that there was talk of, because this year nobody got in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I think a few guys like Mike Piazza, Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio should have got in or whatever. But my buddy actually was saying that, you know, that he heard that there are sports writers that wanted to make a wing where it would be, you know, players with a what do you call it, an asterisk or something next to their name, and saying, you know, what their offenses were, and, you know, kind of shaming them, but also giving them they're right, you know, because they have 600 plus home runs, or, you know, 300 wins, or, you know, whatever the case may be, or, you know, how many World Series, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It's something that, no matter what, as things go on, you're never going to be able to enforce it. I don't know. That's the tough thing about it.
Well, the other alternative that a lot of people talk about is having two versions of each sport, like a clean version and a dirty version.
How do you do that? How do you televise that and market that? You know what I mean? I don't think that could ever work.
I agree with you, but that's pretty much what professional bodybuilding is now. You know, you have clean competitions, and then you have, like, you know, your Ronnie Coleman's and, you know,
right,
guys who are obviously doping. But I think the problem is you would still have people trying to dope in the clean competition, you know?
Right. Right. Well, and that's the thing too. And if you think about it, no one's going to, for example, soccer in New Zealand or Australia, or, you know, say football. No one's going to go to that to watch that. You know, the clean game. It's not like bodybuilding where you're like, wow, that's amazing. Clean. You know, you're going to be like, wow, this is AAA baseball, or, you know, wow, this is, you know, second-rate college. You know what I mean? That's what would end up happening.
The people that are really hurts on all the sports are the people that are, you know, they don't make it. And then how do you – and me and James had this talk the other day. Like, what if you're one of these guys that's, like, in the minor leagues, but you're not quite making it to the big leagues, but you know everybody around you is cheating and they're all doing this and they're all doing that, and
That's what happens.
you're making no money. But if you all of a sudden you start juicing and doing this and doing that, now all of a sudden you're making $5, $10, $15 million a year.
Well,
It'd be pretty hard to say no to it.
And here's the thing about it too, and that's where a lot of it comes into is you have these guys that are like, you know, if it's between you getting sent back down to AAA, or if it's you know, about you're going to make the team out of spring training, and get a contract and everything else, that's where the difference comes in, I think, a lot of times. And that guy ends up, you know, juicing for the first time, and then ends up putting up, you know, noticing his power numbers are up, so now he can't imagine staying in the big leagues and playing without it. And it just, you know, guys like, say, Melky Cabrera, for example, you know, who was a decent player with the Yankees, and all of a sudden last year he's, you know, hitting 370, you know, and he was named in the, I believe, again too. You know what I mean? So it's really, you know, it's either, you know, do you want to be like you said, that guy that's riding the bench when you could be a star, or if you're a star, do you want to be even better? You know, and here's the, you know, the another thing about it too is the fact that you have 162 games a year. You know, in football, you have 16 games, but they're, you know, you take a beating. It takes you 5 days to recover after a football game. You know, if your recovery time is much faster and you can get out there.
Oh,
and
for
play
the pitches, I think for the pitches, it's just as big as an advantage. I was telling James this because of the recovery time. Everybody thinks it's just all about home runs, but you get relief pitches that can go out every three instead of every 5 days, or guys that can do, you know, a start every 4 days instead of every five, because they're recovering faster and they're the better players on the team. Plus, you're adding like 5 miles an hour to your fastball.
Well, yeah, anywhere from like two to five, you know. But no matter what, that can make a big difference. You know what I mean? If you go from throwing 92 to throwing 95, you know, now you could be a star pitcher if you have a good curve and a good out, you know, a circle changer. You know what I mean? Like that could be a big difference between making you, you know, a fifth starter long reliever to now putting you in the rotation, you know, and having your ERA drop by, you know. So, I mean, yeah, and, you know, or even like a closer comes out and pitches one inning every time, you know, but pitches three out of four nights in a row or whatever. And, you know, he's got to be able to come out and hit 98, 99 every night, you know, or whatever.
Oh, yeah, hitting the baseball is a lot harder than people think. I mean, me and James actually talked about this the other night. I was telling him how, you know, I used to play baseball and soccer, and I went back to playing soccer, and it was, you know, cardiovascular-wise, I was totally out of shape. But as far as shooting the ball and everything like that, I mean, I was right on. I was no problem scoring goals. But when I went to playing baseball, I sucked. I used to be really, really good. And I didn't play for, like, you know, 13 years. We tried to go back and play in the men's league. I think I hit, like, 250 at the most, you know? I mean, it's just, it's so much harder when the guys are throwing that much faster and you're seeing curveballs now and everything. Hitting a baseball is not that easy. That's a hard thing to do.
That's when I, that's like, you know, I only played till when I was 14 or so, but that's when I, you know, just my own personal opinion, when I started sucking is when I started seeing curveballs, because it turns out I have a bad vision in my left eye. But so what happened is I couldn't tell the drop on the curveball. You know, I had no problem hitting fastballs. I had no problem, you know, hitting anything, but I couldn't, I, you know, I had to switch from catcher to third base too. I couldn't judge a curve or a slider anymore, you know.
Stop calling you Corey.
It's crazy. My right eye is 20/20 and my left eye is like 50/20. So, but you know why I got hit with a baseball warming my brother up, who my brother threw about, you know, 84 miles an hour or so, you know, which is, you know, decent for you know, back then. I was warming up without a catching mask.
Anybody that can throw 80 is decent. I mean, you know, if you're not, you know, in some sort of professional league or something, 80's fast. 80's hard to hit, you know. What about with the and we'll take a short break after this, but why don't you get into the rugby a little bit, James, and how much of an advantage, like, the the recovery time type of steroids or whatever would be for a sport like that, and how many games they play a week and the contact that's involved. I don't think a lot of Americans realize that's like football without pads combined with soccer, and they play like three times a week.
I played a little rugby. I never really got it, but I went to a buddy of mine's college who was playing it, and I got involved in a scrimmage game or whatever, and I didn't really understand what I was doing, but I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, go ahead, James. You obviously know the game better than I do.
Well, it's a massive advantage. I mean, some guys are making, 40, 50, 60 tackles a game in some cases, the rugby league version anyway, and it's like, but obviously it's much more aerobic, it's more continuous. I mean, it's not as aerobic as soccer is, but, there's not nearly as many breaks. I mean, the game's over, like an hour of playing time takes like an hour and a half, whereas I know the Super Bowl took about 3.5-4 hours. My friend told me there's only like 13 minutes of actual play. I don't know how many minutes of play there are.
It's 48 minutes of play, and it's the Super Bowl drags out, plus we had the 33 minute delay. A normal football game takes anywhere from a little over 2 hours to, or no, 2.5 hours to 3.5 hours. Yeah. Well, pro football, not the lower ones, but they have TV timeouts and shit like that, whatever. But go ahead.
Well, I noticed, just watching the Super Bowl, I mean, like, there seem to be some very disproportionate physiques, I imagine when you're throwing the ball, like in rugby, you pass it like with two hands. You don't sort of throw it by one hand overhand, but I would be guessing the tricep will be used a lot in that movement, because I noticed those guys had like massive triceps.
Quarterbacks are just have just natural arm usually, that they don't, most of the ones I know. But yeah, no, I think the way the overhand throw would probably be a tricep. Yeah, continue.
Yeah, they just seem to have these massive like arms, but then obviously you train for what you need. I mean, they're not bodybuilders. I mean, per se, they're not. So of course they're going to be a little disproportionate. But in my opinion, some of them showed some definite signs of steroid use.
Oh, I'm sure, like we said, the NFL is, there's no way that some of these guys, and here's the other thing too. I mean, I played at prep school at Milford Academy, there was a kid who was 18 years old and benched 485 and was clean, what I mean? And he ended up, he played for Syracuse after, whatever, but So, I mean, there is some of these like ridiculous strong people, but. No, I'll guarantee, especially with the older guys and stuff too that are trying to stay in the league and stay healthy. No, I would probably say at least 50% of the league is juice or some sort of substance, like, definitely.
Yeah. What about you guys out there in the chat or the callers? I know we're not usually talking about sports, and we're probably going to change direction soon. But do you guys have any comments? You guys or any questions about? Or any opinion on this? I mean, James, what's your stance? I mean, I told you mine, and Justin kind of said his. You agree, just let them all do it because they're all doing it, and it's unfair to the guys that don't do it? Or do you think it's more about the integrity of the game and everything, and they should all be stopped from doing it, which is how I feel? Plus, that it's healthier for them in the long run,
Well... Depends what way you come at it. I mean, if you come at it from the drug argument that there's their own bodies and, what they're putting into it, I mean, it's hard to... I mean, obviously there are rules to sport, because most of these drugs are actually illegal. That's the other issue as well. I mean, it's a criminal matter. I mean, I always found it kind of funny that Ronnie Coleman's a police officer and he's clearly using illegal steroids. I mean, that was only pretty funny to me, but, I mean, I don't know how I feel. I try and put myself in that situation, what I would do, whether I would do it. The hardest thing would be watching your friends that you all grew up and played with, your buddies, who maybe you're better than them, but they start juicing and they become better than you, and then they go on further, and it's like, it's a big ego thing, It's a big, maybe some peer pressure too, and... I mean, I don't really know. I don't have an answer.
It's tough. You know, it's tough.
Especially
when
it's
the difference in money. It totally changed your life from having, you know, being a struggle. Big guys that make, like, baseball and they're in the minor leagues for their lives, they don't make a ton of money. I mean, they get by and they have a decent career, but they're not making millions of dollars. And if they did some steroids and, you know, it'd be tough to say no if everybody else was doing it, you know? I don't know. I guess I would agree with everybody not doing it if the testing was better. But
right.
I think with the testing being the way it is, I don't think it's fair to the other guys that aren't doing it because the testing's got so many friggin' flaws in it, you know?
That's where I stand too, and I think, you know, you're always gonna have these new cutting edge drugs that are gonna end up being banned or whatever, and you know, and here's the thing though too. I mean, at what point is something a drug and not just a supplement? And that's the thing. There is some weird supplements on these lists too that, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, things that like that are actually healthy for you. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, you know, it's a double edged sword. But you know, I think if they make a clear cut, you know, clear cut rules and have a definite test, I would be for that if that's how the league wanted to roll. Especially, you know, football's looking to cut down on head injuries and whatnot. You know, I would definitely think that would, you know, but as it is now, you can't, it's so hard to police. You know, so I mean,
and it's also a question too of how accurate the tests are, and we haven't seen this used in a criminal court yet, and that's why I think the decision to not bring federal charges against Lance Armstrong was perhaps a disservice, because you know this has never been tested in a courtroom, and obviously we know like DNA, you know, we know how. I mean, there's a chance we could have been lied to about that, but I mean, we know DNA tests are used every day. For paternity, I mean, we know that that's extremely accurate. These tests and testing procedures have never been tested in a criminal court, and we don't really know how accurate they are. And if someone fails a test, you know, or it gets contaminated, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, how accurate are these tests and the testing procedures worldwide, you know, and the risk of contamination? There could be some people who failed tests that are actually innocent.
Yeah, or false positives, and that's the thing too, especially with the like the real stringent Olympic testing. You know, that's the thing. As far as I know, the Olympic testing is very easy for, you know, that's why I think they give it to you a couple times if you fail or whatever, because there's been false positives and stuff and certain things that cause. I think they even give you a list of things that will give you a false positive, so you have to avoid those too or whatever.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, you know, you Brian, you played football. I mean, I was probably more at a younger age, but quite a high level. I mean, did this ever come up? This issue of performance enhancing drugs? I mean, did you know people? Were there rumors about people being on it that you played on the teams?
No. When he says football, you mean like American soccer, right? You're talking to me?
Yeah, soccer.
Yeah. No. Don't have to say sorry. I knew what you meant. I just thought, you know, just so everybody else knows what you mean.
I was confused too whether you meant me.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. No. Yeah, I knew you were. I could tell a little bit. I didn't want to throw you under the bus, but since you did it yourself, what was I gonna say? No, it never came up, James. Nobody really thought anybody on any of our soccer teams was on anything. But it was a different day and age back then. I mean, not to date myself too much, but me being playing high level club team or you know, travel team or playing for the high school team or whatever, you know, we're coming on 20 years ago now. It wasn't such a big thing out then. I mean, they had certain things for endurance and different shakes and stuff like that, and creatine and you know, things like that, but they didn't really have well, I'm sure they did. I mean, maybe we just weren't introduced to it, but I had never heard anybody had any conversation about steroids in the football game. But I think that might be a better question to ask Justin, since he played football.
Yeah.
American football.
Yeah.
I think it's totally different.
Yeah, I knew from football and from wrestling, I knew high school kids, especially the town next to mine, like the whole fucking team was juice, and they weren't even good either too. They're just, you know, they're all juice heads though. And as far as they had a great wrestling team though. I'm talking of East Haven, by the way. If anyone's listening from there,
Haven, you bunch of juice head motherfuckers.
No, they already know it.
That's Stavely kid. He just cussed on the radio again. Everybody's gonna be so disappointed. Goddamn robot! We gotta mute that thing.
And then when I played at Milford Academy, it was like and even where I played in high school. Like I had a few friends in the football team that juiced, I know a lot of people that would do like a cycle in the off season, you know, or maybe one before, and they wouldn't keep it up, but I knew some that juiced all the time. And then when I got to Milford Academy in prep school, I would say 60% of the team was on steroids, and by then it was like, because that was it. That was the point where. Either you play like you've been playing, you know, or whatever, like you're capable of playing and play Division II ball, or you step it up and, you know, you go and play for, get a full ride to Michigan State or whatever. You know, like I said, I wasn't in the position for that. I wasn't tall enough or, you know, strong or athlete. You know, like these guys were huge compared. I was the smallest lineman there. But yeah, to make a long story short, yeah, most of these guys were juicing. It was huge then. And back then it was dirty steroids like Cessonon and D-ball and
two totally different things. And I do still think there are definitely professional soccer players that are juicing, but it is definitely a lot lower than football. I mean, it's not even comparable. I don't think
it's interesting.
There's probably PEDs that are used in soccer. But as far as like steroids, like bulking up type steroids, I would say that football would far outweigh. Would you agree, Justin?
Yeah, I would think.
James, well, it's interesting though, because I mean, it's kind of skewed by the sheer number of people that play soccer. But you know, we have heard of a lot of. I don't know if you hear about them over there, but there have been a lot of people, you know, in the Premier League, younger guys in their early 20s that have just dropped dead. You know.
No, we don't really hear it over here too much.
Yeah, there have been a number of professional soccer players who have dropped dead of heart attacks, and some of them even on the field, and like guys like 23, 24, and no link has necessarily ever been made to drugs, but I would think football. I mean, it's just a tough game. I mean, soccer, you know, the recovery, you know, the aerobic fitness. I mean,
well, even a lot of basketball players died, you know, just had a heart tick or whatever. And they weren't juicing, you know, guys like Reggie Lewis, you know. So, I mean, no,
he was doing a lot of cocaine, though, man.
Reggie Lewis was? I think you're thinking of Len Bias.
Oh, yeah, I am thinking of Len Bias.
No, they're not doping.
You're totally right, I'm thinking of Len Bias.
Yeah.
How do we know whether someone's doping or not unless they do an autopsy? Even then,
well, what an idiot! I don't know.
In basketball, because I think it's the one sport where unless you're like a big rebounder, I don't see where, especially back then at the technology, I don't see where it would benefit you. But basketball is more a sport.
A small forward like LeBron James sure looks like he might be on something.
Yeah,
but that's not to say anything. Like, if I got in real good shape naturally, I would look good too. You know what I mean? I wouldn't need steroids. So, like, you know, you can't just say just because somebody looks like that they're juicing. But I think, you don't think it would benefit somebody of that position, level? Where they could jump higher and be stronger, grabbing the rebounds.
I think it can. I think I'm sure nowadays with the more advanced stuff that's happening, I just don't see steroids being used back in like the early 90s and late 80s back in basketball. I don't see like
we
the,
just
you
hope
know.
They weren't because that was the golden age. We hope they weren't.
Yeah, but I mean,
you've been called Mr. Scott Steiner, haven't you, Stavely?
Yeah, people call me Steiner sometimes.
God, that guy was juicing. He still denies it.
Steiner was juicing out of his mind. You see the picture of him next to me, how small I look next to him?
Let me tell you something, dude. I used to watch wrestling with the Steiner brothers back when they were in like the WWF. The NWA.
He totally changed. He got so much bigger so fast.
Remember when they used to, like, the Steiner brothers, and at one point Rick was the bigger brother. Scott was a smaller brother, and they were both, you know, Michigan wrestlers or whatever. They used to come out with their wrestling singlets on. And then all of a sudden when he came back, his big Papa Pump, He was like probably gained 80 pounds of muscle alone, and it was
he
just
was
like
so big, but he was cool though, man. I loved him. I thought he was an awesome character as part of the NWO. I really did, because he'd come down and smash people with chairs, and he'd throw them in a Steiner recliner. And if he really threw you in a Steiner recliner with those arms, that shit would hurt. Ask James. He was thrown in the walls of Jericho. He thought it wouldn't hurt. Ask him how it felt.
Dude, you know what actually you know what's very what kills if really have to let someone put it on you is the figure four leg lock.
Oh, the figure four leg lock's the worst, the most painful move probably ever. Unless you got like power bombed into the pavement and broke your neck or something, maybe.
Right, or if you get like you know a rear naked choke.
Yeah,
or
I've been in a figure four a few times. We've tried it fooling around. As soon as you put that leg on and lock that last leg on, you don't even really have to put any pressure. That other person is in a lot of pain, dude.
Yeah, it is.
It puts so much pain on the shin that it's unbelievable.
Right.
That really is the best submission hold. If you can get somebody in a figure four, well, they're hurting, dude.
I think what's it called? The arm one is a better one. The one where
under the shoulder and the neck at the same time.
Yes. Not the triangle, but the one where you lean back with your arms over the body like that. Yeah, where you and the more they move, the more it sinks in.
Yeah.
You know the big MMA. I think that's the worst, probably the worst move there is in existence.
Definitely not the so. Definitely not the people's elbow. We can agree.
No, not the people's elbow. I'll tell you.
What's a real wrestler? You were a real wrestler. What's a real wrestling submission hold besides like you said the chokehold you were talking about. What's one that's used in the WWF or whatever a lot that you guys actually did use in wrestling?
The only thing that is used, I don't even know. They really don't even do fireman's carry anymore. Like that used to be like Bob Backlund and Dean Malenko.
I remember him. I hated Malenko, but Bob Backlund was cool. He was a champ.
And even Angle, you know, used to. I don't know. You do a one legged shot, two legged. They really don't do that. In wrestling anymore. It's really. I mean, there is a belly to back. That you would do or belly to belly, but
yeah, belly to back's cool. Belly to belly's cool.
But the only thing is you can't pick them up over your head. You know what I mean? You can't. You have.
Is that against the rules?
Yes. In fact, the kid, one kid I knew that was juicing, he got in trouble for picking a kid up too high and slammed him on his neck. Like,
what's the rule? Is it above your shoulder, above your chest? How do they judge how high you can pick somebody up?
You got to keep it like parallel. You got to keep it like parallel. Like certainly, you can't go over like the shoulder or whatever. Like yeah, you got to like you're allowed to do it sideways, but like I forget. It's just you can't go. There's a certain angle you can't do it at. You know.
So there's a fair amount of thinking that actually is when you're wrestling. There's actually quite a bit of thinking at the same time.
Oh yeah, it's a mind game. You know, you have to, especially like when you're both, you know, pretty much the same strength, pretty much the same speed. You know, you I would put out my leg to encourage the other opponent to shoot because I knew as soon as he shot, then I would, you know, be able to get his back and then everything else. And it's similar in MMA as well. You know, except for in MMA, you have to worry about getting punched in the face and kicked in the ribs at the same time. But you know, that's why wrestlers do well in the MMA is because, you know, really that's one of the three disciplines. You know, you have the wrestling helps standing in on the ground. So, I mean, you know, but I don't know. It's definitely a great sport. I wish more kids would get into it, like, because, like, as a self-defense.